السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبو عبد الله،
أبو عبد الرحمن معكم.
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله.
نستمر بدرسنا.
نعم. نعم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Today, inshallah, in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, we'll be reading from the chapter heading باب كن لليتيم كالأب الرحيم. كن لليتيم كالأب الرحيم. We should be to the yatim, to the orphan, as a man, as a kind father would be to his son or to his daughter. We had read the entire hadith in the chapter heading. But the last hadith we read was the hadith of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, hadithun maqtu'un, an athar from the Imam that Imam al-Bukhari read from his teacher Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki, who in turn reported it from his own teacher Salam ibn Abi Muti' and Asma'a ibn Ubaid. Asma'u ibn Ubaid was the one who reported this hadith from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Siri. He asked the Imam, rahimahullah, indi yatimun, I have an orphan, as if to say, how do I pay attention to this orphan? How do I handle this orphan? Advise me how to take care of the orphan and earn the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin said, Isna bihi ma tasna'u bi waladika. Isna bihi ma tasna'u bi waladika. Idribhu ma tadribu waladak. Isna bihi ma tasna'u bi waladika. You will direct to this child, this orphan. Guide him as you guide your son. Care for him as you care for your son. Pay attention to the yatim, the orphan, just in the manner that you would pay attention as a kind father to your own children. And then he said, idribhu ma tadribu waladak. You should also beat him or cane him, just in the way that you would compassionately cane or beat your child. We mentioned in the class yesterday that one of the points of benefits in this matter by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin is that it is lawful for a father or a teacher, when the need arises for it, when there is need for it, when it's going to be beneficial to the child, it is lawful for that parent or for that teacher, the mu'allim, to cane the child. It is lawful for the mu'allim or the mudarris or the mu'addib to cane a child when the situation deserves that the child should be caned, and when caning that child will be beneficial to the child. Said that what Al-Imam Muhammad Sirin has said says that amongst the early Muslims they consider it lawful. Since it is lawful to cane the yatim, just like we cane our children, he said, cane the yatim, idribhu ma tadribu waladak. Cane the yatim the way you cane your child. Discipline the yatim in your child. What it means is that it is lawful to discipline the child using a cane. It is also not to discipline the yatim using a cane when that is the way out for the boy to make benefit. That's why Sheikh Fadlullahi Al-Jilani, the first known amongst the scholars who did a sharh of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, when he commented about this asar regarding the yatim, he said, wa waliyul yatim qad yadtarru an yadribahu wa waliyul yatim qad yadtarru an yadribahu likay la yaqa fi ma huwa ashaddu lahu min ad-darbi. He said, rahimahullah, ووَلِيُّ الْيَتِيمِ قَدْ يَدْطَرُّ أَنْ يَضْرِبَهُ لِكَيْ لَا يَقَعَ فِي مَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الضَّرْبِ. He said, وَلِيُّ الْيَتِيمِ, the one who is the guardian of the yatim, قَدْ يَدْطَرُّ أَنْ يَضْرِبَهُ, he may be pushed to having to flog that boy. He may be pushed to having to flog that girl. The yatim says, "Likayla yaqa fi ma huwa ashaddu lahu min ad-darbi," by way so that yatim does not fall into something that is worse than flogging. Meaning that flogging in that circumstance will be a means of preventing that yatim min al-wuku'i fi ma huwa ashaddu min ad-darbi. It will be a means of protecting that yatim from falling into something that is harder than flogging him. Instead of him falling into something that is worse, then flogging is employed by means of stopping him from a worse situation, by means of not making him become a boy without discipline. A boy who will perhaps grow up with particular traits that are bad. This is bad for the boy. If stopping that boy will involve flogging him, then the flogging or the caning should be employed. This is a statement of a Sheikh Fadlullah Al-Jilani. He said, "Wa waliyul yatim qad yattarru an yadribahu likay la yaqa fi ma huwa ashaddu lahu min ad-darbi." So this asar of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin also points that the yatim may be flogged. But with the kind of compassion that with which we discipline our children, that is the compassion that should be employed when the yatim has to be disciplined. So we said that this is evidence that the early Muslims considered it lawful. Just as it is lawful to compassionately cane our own children, it is also lawful to compassionately cane a yatim. We mentioned also yesterday that there's an asar by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha in the asar number 142 or hadith number 142 in our book. Just one hadith after the next hadith. The hadith of Muhammad ibn Sirin we read occurs in 140. One hadith after that we come to 142. That is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha when one of the Tabi'un, Shumaysa al-Ataqiyya. Her name was Shumaysa. Shumaysa al-Ataqiyya. She said, Zukira adabul yatim inda Aisha. Zukira adabul yatim inda Aisha. It was mentioned, disciplining the yatim was mentioned in front of Aisha, radiallahu anha. Disciplining the yatim, flogging the yatim, caning the yatim was mentioned before in the presence of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. So Shumaysatu al-Ataqiyya said, Zukira adabul yatim inda Aisha. Caning the yatim by way of discipline was mentioned before our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Faqalat inni la adribu al-yatim hatta yanbasit. Inni la adribu al-yatim hatta yambasit. I would flog a yatim, because Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a lot of people, she had a lot of yatama with her. She had a time with her. She had people bringing the children into her house for them to, for her to care for them. So she said, radiyallahu anha, inni la adribu al-yatim. As for me, I would beat the yatim. I would give her discipline or give him discipline, as the case may be. Hatta, I will do that in such an extent that yambasit, he will be calm. The beating, the flogging, the caning will make that boy yambasit. He will be right down after the caning. You know the puff that comes to children sometimes when they are caned. She said, radiallahu anha, when I cane them, she will be calm, or he will be calm. Yambasit. He will be soft after the caning when I cane a yatim. This is also evidence that the early Muslims did not consider it unlawful. They rather considered caning lawful when caning was going to be or is going to be useful for that child, and of course within limits. So the first point to establish is that the early Muslims considered caning a child not out of place. They considered caning a child not out of place. And we mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam also made statements from where some of the scholars have explained that, have deduced that the child may lawfully be caned when caning is beneficial. The first of those ahadith is one hadith that we had read in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That is the hadith of Abu Darda, when he said, Awsani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tis'in, hadith number 18. In it, Abu Darda said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam admonished me to hold on to 9 things. And the last of those things is that وَلَا تَرْفَعْ عَصَاكَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ لَا تَرْفَعْ عَصَاكَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ لَا تَرْفَعْ عَصَاكَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ وَأَخِفْهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ لَا تَرْفَعْ عَصَاكَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ. Don't take your cane. Don't take your cane away an أَهْلِكَ from your family. That is, make it be available with them. Let them know it. Let them see it. Let them be familiar that, oh, let the children know that a person may be caned if the person deserved to be caned. They said this hadith means that a person may be caned if the person deserves to be caned. La tarfa asaka an ahlik. Don't take away your cane from them. Don't take away your cane from them. Let it be within them and amongst them. This will be better understood if we look at the asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, also in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that occurs in the hadith number 1229. In our book, 1229. In it, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu عنهما, he said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أمر بتعليق الصوت في البيت. أمر بتعليق الصوت في البيت. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded that a salt, a cane, a whip, something with which somebody may be whipped, should be hung in the house. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered that we should leave our whip, our cane, hanging in the house. Of course, it will not be hanging for no reason than that a child, a yatim, may require to be caned when the situation deserves that that yatim should be caned. This answer of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in 1229 in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It's also reported by Imam Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. It's also reported by Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya in his book Al-Iyal. And they say in their own loves that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلِّقُ الصَّوْتِ حَيْثُ يَرَاهُ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. عَلِّقُ الصَّوْتِ. Hang your wits, hang your cane حيث يراه أهل البيت. In a place where the people in the house, the household, the members of the household, they will see the cane where you have hung it. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُمْ أَدَبٌ. Because it is a means of discipline for them. That hadith occurs with another expression in the rest of the books of the hadith that we had mentioned. That عَلِّقُ الصَّوْتِ, that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, عَلِّقُ الصَّوْتِ, hang your canes, حَيْثُ يَرَاهُ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ, at a place where the people, the children in the house will find it, they will see it. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُمْ أَدَبٌ, because that cane is a means of discipline for them. That's another statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that showed that it is lawful when the situation deserves it that a child may be caned. And also in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, if we go to Athar number 880, it occurs from Abdullah ibn Umar, 880 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reported an Athar from Abdullah ibn Umar that Nafi, his freed slave, said, Kana ibn Umara, يَدْرِبُ وَلَدَهُ عَلَى اللَّحْنِ, كَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرَ يَدْرِبُ وَلَدَهُ عَلَى اللَّحْنِ. Ibn Umar used to flog his children when they err in grammar, in Arabic. When they spoke Arabic language and they made an error, Ibn Umar would cane his children. That is evidence that from the aspects of teaching a child, they require that the child was caned. Of course, for the child to take note, and by means of disciplining the child and nurturing the child upon goodness. But that's a basic rule. The basic rule is that if that is upon the maslaha for the child, there are other asar from the rest of the people, but we have seen the statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have seen the statements from the companions. We saw this asar from Abdullah ibn Umar. We saw the asar of our mother, Aisha, radiallahu anha. There are other asar that have been reported that basically affirm that a child may be flogged. Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhi was a tabi'i. In his own case, he says, referring to the elders amongst the tabi'un, because the large majority of those that Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhi lived with were the elders amongst the tabi'un, the eminent students of Abdullah ibn Abbas and others amongst the companions. He said, Kanu yadribuna ala shahadati. Kanu yadribuna. They used to beat us while we were kids. Our elders would beat us. Ala shahadati wal ahdi. When just they don't want us to be witnesses over everything. They used to beat us over false witnesses. Well, as or promising and perhaps not fulfilling those promises, وَنَحْنُ سِجَارٌ, at that time we are little young ones. They would beat us. They don't want us to make false witnessing, as children will do. I saw him beat him. I saw him did this. They did not want us to give false witnesses nor make false promises. So they will beat us over that while we were kids. This is evidence that even in the times of the elders amongst the tabi'un, as Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhai has mentioned, it was considered a lawful thing to beat a child if the need for that arose. And Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, just as it is authentically reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, Han ibn Hani, one of the students of Al-Imam Ahmad, he said, رَأَيْتُ أَحْمَدَ بْنَ حَنْبَلٍ يَضْرِبُ ابْنَتَهُ عَلَى اللَّحْنِ. رَأَيْتُ أَحْمَدَ بْنَ حَنْبَلٍ. I saw Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal يَضْرِبُ ابْنَتَهُ. He would beat his daughter عَلَى اللَّحْنِ, when she erred in grammar, in Arabic grammar. وَيَنْتَهِرُهَا. she will warn her, she will caution her, she will speak to her in a manner to show disavowal, to show disapproval for what she has done. Why are you erring? She will say so. But it is reported many will come back to the guidelines regarding what we are mentioning in these narrations, that amongst the early Muslims, they considered it lawful either for the purpose of teaching, if it is necessary that the child, or for the purposes of discipline, that a child may be flogged or may be caned when the circumstance deserves that such a child be claimed. There are other reports from Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and others amongst the early Muslims. The point we like to affirm with all these affair is that it is lawful to cane a child when the situation deserves that, if it is necessary. That was why Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he was asked whether it is lawful to cane a child. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he was asked whether is it lawful to cane a child, and he said, rahimahullah, إذا كان الطفل يتأدب بالضرب إذا كان الطفل if the little young boy or girl يتأدب بالضرب if he will be disciplined, if he will become disciplined, he will take lessons. When you cane, if that child will take lessons, when you cane him or her, ولم يكن بد منه, and there is no other alternative. We have tried various methods. We frowned our faces. We looked the other way. We tried to shun him. We tried so many other things, and they are not working. فلا بأس به. In that case, there is no blame caning the child. وَقَدْ جَرَتْ عَادَةُ النَّاسِ عَلَى هَذَا. وَقَدْ جَرَتْ عَادَةُ النَّاسِ عَلَى هَذَا. The other people would customarily cane a child when the child required to be caned. وَإِذَا كَانَ لَا يَتَأَدَّبُ. But if that child does not become cautioned, if that child would not change because of caning, كَطِفْلٍ فِي مَهْدٍ, just like a little young girl that is just still being carried on the hand, who does not know the meaning of caning, يَصِيحُ, a little young girl, فِي مَهْدٍ, who is just still being carried. I mean, this girl is just little young girl. She does not know what caning is. The Sheikh says, when she begins to cry, فَتَدْرِبُهُ, or when the boy begins to cry, فَتَدْرِبُهُ أُمُّهُ مَثَلًا, and then the mother begins to flog that boy. You have a little young boy, a boy of two, a boy of even perhaps below two. You see, you still largely carry such people. When children are below two, even going to three, largely, most of the times we carry them until they begin to really walk. We carry them. This is the person that he is referring to. He says, if this kind of a boy, Yasihu, begins to cry and wail, فَتَضْرِبُهُ أُمُّهُ مَثَلًا, and then, for example, the mother of this boy begins to beat this boy, فَهَذَا لَا يَجُوزُ. The Sheikh says, this kind of a beating is not lawful, لِأَنَّ فِيهِ إِيلَامًا بِلَا فَائِدَةً, because it involves causing harm, causing hurt without benefit. والمدار كله على هل هذا الضرب يتأدب به الطفل أو لا يتأدب. He says, والمدار, what upon which what we will do depends on is that على هل هذا الضرب, for us to ask, does this beating, does this caning يتأدب به الطفل أو لا يتأدب. Will it make the child to change? Will it make the child to become disciplined and cautioned or not? So he said, Rahimahullah, وَإِذَا كَانَ يَتَأَدَّبُ بِهِ, and if that child will be a person who will take lessons and change because we have beaten him, فَلَا يُضْرَبُ ضَرْبًا مُبَرِّحًا, he started to give the conditions. He said, the first thing, al-madaru kulluhu ala anna, the basic rule to check what will determine the index to know, for us to know whether we shall beat this boy or girl, as the case may be, is, will that beating, yata'addahu bihi tiflu, will that make that boy to change, will it bring about good results, good effect, or not? He said, if it will bring about good effect, falaba, there's no blame. Beat him. But if it will not bring about good effect, just like a little boy or a little girl that is just being carried on the hand, who begins to cry, like a baby crying, instead of the mother breastfeeding the baby, she begins to beat this baby. The sheikh says, Hadha la yajuz li'annahu fihi ilamun biduni sababin. Said this is not lawful because you are causing hurt to this little young boy without a genuine reason. Now, if you have to beat the boy, the sheikh says, Rahimahullah, fala yudrabu darban mubarriha. That child should not be beaten in a manner that will cause harm, cause that child pain so much that you find marks on the body. La yudrabu ala alwajhi masala. The face should not also be beaten, for example. Walal mahal al-qatili. It should not also be beaten al-fil mahal al-qatil. And at places that when you beat a child, it may lead to the death of that child. Inna wa innama yudrabu ala zahri wal-katifi. The child may only be beaten ala zahri, at the back, awil-katif, or the shoulders. أو ما أشبه ذلك مما لا يكون سببا في هلاكه or places like that are not likely to lead to evil consequences like death for this child. So these are the general advices that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen had given. Before him, Al-Imam Izzuddin ibn Abdul Salam also gave similar explanations. And in our own times, Sheikh Suleiman Al-Ruhayli, he also gave these kinds of advices that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih had given in his own case. He said, Yudrabu tiflu limaslahatihi. A little young boy or girl may be beaten limaslahatihi. Yudrabu tiflu limaslahatihi. The little young boy or girl may be flogged, may be caned limaslahatihi. It must be for a benefit. If I cane this boy, it will benefit him. If I cane this girl, it will benefit him. At least it will prevent him from falling into something worse than caning, like Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani had said. Like I mentioned yesterday, there are others amongst the scholars who have listed these conditions. If you now want to beat the child because you think that it will bring benefit to that child, there are a number of other guidelines that the scholars have given. And there are a lot of asar supporting each of the guidelines. I'll be reading this from the book Al-Jami'u fi Ahkami wa Adab al-Sudyan. Al-Jami'u fi Ahkami wa Adab al-Sudyan by Sheikh Abi Abdullah Adil ibn Abdullah Al-Ghamidi. It was published by Maktabatul Asadi in Makkah. He gave in this book about 18 of them. I think quickly we could mention a few of them. Such that it will not be that, yes, we have said it is lawful to cane a child for the benefits of that child, and then we leave out the how of the caning. So we should also discuss that caning that we say it is lawful when it will be beneficial to the child. How do you go about that caning so that we don't go beyond the stated limits? So we must know what are those limits, what are the guidelines regarding caning a child. So the Sheikh says, in kana darbu lit'adib fala yazidu fi darbi an thalathin. In kana darbu lit'adib, if beating the child is to nurture and discipline that child, fala yazidu fi darbi an thalathin, we should not exceed 3 strokes of the cane. We should not exceed 3 strokes of the cane. And he mentioned some athar from the early Muslims regarding that. The second point he mentioned, for the sake of time, we could go on. That was why I referred us to the book Al-Jami'u fi Ahkami wa Adab al-Sibyan by Sheikh Abu Abdullah Al-Ghamid. We should go on to that. He mentioned 18 guidelines, but we mentioned only a few of them. The first one he mentioned is, don't make it be more than 3. You only want to discipline him. Don't make the strokes be more than 3. So you don't go back now to say, oh, they said that we should cane the child if caning will be beneficial. And you begin to cane the child. 1, 2, the child is counting. 3, 4, 5. You want to be sure that this child
really, really knows and identifies that he or she has been caned to death. Abu and Ummu, don't let it be more than 3 strokes of the cane. That was what the early Muslims were offered. The second advice he gave is that أَنْ يَتَّقِيَ اللَّهَ فِي ضَرْبِهِ فَلَا يَضْرِبْهُ ضَرْبَ ظُلْمٍ وَتَجَبُّرٍ أَنْ يَتَّقِيَ اللَّهَ فِي ضَرْبِهِ. The parent or the teacher who is to cane a child, yet أَنْ يَتَّقِيَ اللَّهَ فِي ضَرْبِهِ. This parent or the mother or the father or the guardian of the yatim, يَنْبَغِي أَنْ تَتَّقِيَ اللَّهَ فِي ضَرْبِكَ. You should fear Allah in the way that you, in your beating of that child. فَلَا تَدْرِبُهُ. Do not beat that child. ضَرْبَ ظُلْمٍ وَتَجَبُّرٍ. Don't beat that child in the beating of injustice. Don't beat that child out of injustice. وَتَجَبُّرٍ and oppression. Don't beat the child because you want to oppress him. For example, that you beat a child min ghairi sababin, without any reason. Hey, you come here, and then you start beating the child. There are some teachers who want to, in schools, they want to be known to be wicked. Some teachers behave like this. If a Muslim behaves like this, it is because of little fear of Allah in his mind. Otherwise, if you fear Allah, you must never beat a child min ghairi sababin, because it will come from the aspects of darbuhulmin watajaburin. It will come from the aspects of a darb, that is of injustice and what? Oppression. That is the second point that the Sheikh gave advice on. Thirdly, he also advised. He says, an yadriba darban ghayra mubarrihin. We had mentioned this from advice of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Yadribu darban ghayra mubarrihin. He should only beat that child in a manner that will not leave marks on him. Don't leave a mark. Some parents will say, if you don't leave a mark, I will not leave you. You are just venting your anger. We are coming to that. If I don't give you a mark, I will not leave you. Why do you need to give the boy a mark? It is unlawful. Don't employ these asar that the early Muslims used to beat their children as evidence for beating your child and breaking his arm. Don't give that kind of an excuse. And most of the times, from experience, when you beat a child and give that child a mark, the child hardly becomes cultured. What you think you want to achieve, you get the opposite. You get the opposite of what you think you want to achieve. Don't beat your child, leaving marks on that child. This is for all of us. Parents get easily annoyed. They get easily frustrated. Some of them will be shouting, I'm going to beat you. I'll beat you today. I'll kill you. I'm going to beat you. And all of this. Let us stop this approach. You say, I will almost beat you to death today. If you beat your child to death, what have you gained? A child that you want to guide. Why? What is the problem about beating to death? So for the sake of Allah, let us not leave a mark on our children when we have to, for genuine reasons, spank them. It says again in the fourth point or the fifth point, and la yadriba man la ya'kilu darba wa ta'dib. La an la yadriba. The parents or the guardian should not beat man la ya'kilu darba wa ta'dib. The teacher, لا يجوز له أن يضرب من لا يعقل الضرب والتأديب. It is not lawful to flog a child that does not even know the meaning of flogging and disciplining. Like the case of the child, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen gave as an example. This boy does not know the meaning of flogging. What does the flogging mean? He does not know. So why flog him or her? A little young girl that is just still being breastfed, he begin to beat the child. Some mothers do it. When their children breastfeed, they become frustrated. They begin to beat the child. We should not do so regarding our daughters. Why? These people, la ya'kiluna ad-darba wa at-ta'dib, they do not understand what it means when you beat them. And like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen said, it is from the aspects of Al Ilam, the Ghairi Sabab. You are just cutting horse without reason. The reason for beating a child is to change. This child does not even know what to change to. So why beat the child? So it is not lawful to beat someone who does not know the meaning of beating. The fifth advice or so that he gave that will read to us, he says, "An yukhbira al-sabiyya an sababi darbihi." An yukhbira al-abu al-sabiyya an sababi darbihi. That the parent or the teacher or the guardian of the yatim should inform the child an sababi darbihi. The child should be told about the reason why he was flogged. You know why I flogged you? Or you know why I caned you? You did so and so and so and so, because it will help the child realize that she was being rejected and criticized to the extent of being flogged because of that thing that you would explain. Explain to your children why you beat them when you do so. I'm beating you for so and so. That will also help you be sure that you are not beating that your child and grooming what a jabburin. There's a reason. And then it will help you press home the overall benefit of making the child to change. Making the child to change. The sixth thing I like to mention about these guidelines is that أَنْ يَضْرِبَهُمْ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ وَخَطَئِهِمْ يَضْرِبُهُمْ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ وَخَطَئِهِمْ. You should only beat your child according to the sin or error that they have committed. If a child commits a simple error, don't beat him as if he has committed a major error. If you need to beat the child, the beating should be a function of the sin or the error that child has committed. Not every sin should carry the same category of flogging or caning. For all of these, for each and all of these that we have mentioned, this Sheikh Abu Abdullah Al-Ghamidi, in his book Al-Jami'u fi Ahkami wa Adab al-Subyan, he has mentioned a number of athar, ahadith, narrations, verses of the Quran, and statements of the scholars for each of them that the time will not permit us to go to one after the other. The seventh thing I like to mention regarding this is that the Sheikh says, "An la yu'aqib as-sabiyya ala kulli dhanbin." Allah يُعَاقِبَ الصَّبِيَّ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ. It is not lawful to berate a child upon every error. You don't beat your child because of everything. Everything he does, you beat him. Everything she does, you beat her. She doesn't pray well, you beat her. She doesn't wear hijab well, you beat her. She ate and dropped some food on the ground. You say, "Oh, I have just swept this place now. You, this girl, you want me to walk and die?" You beat her. She wanted to drink the water. Some water spilled on her clothes. You say, "Oh, you, this girl, you want to kill me? I have been washing clothes since morning and there's no sun to dry the clothes." You beat her. Don't beat your child ala kulli dhanbin. Over every error or sin that the child commits, you beat the child. That is not appropriate. The eighth thing I like to mention about these guidelines is that أَنْ يَعْدِلَ بَيْنَ الصِّبِيَانِ فِي الضَّرْبِ. أَنْ يَعْدِلَ بَيْنَ الصِّبِيَانِ فِي الضَّرْبِ. أَنْ يَعْدِلَ بَيْنَ الصِّبِيَانِ فِي الضَّرْبِ. When more than one child has committed an error and they all have to be disciplined, it is not lawful for him not to be fair. It is not lawful for him not to be fair. That is, he should be fair. If you flog, six boys did something wrong. Two boys did something wrong. Two of your boys, or a boy and a girl. Make sure that you are distributing the punishment or discipline fairly and equally. Don't beat this one 10 strokes. You don't hear something, I will beat you 20. You hear something, I will give you 5. This is being unfair amongst your children. And يَعْدِلَ بَيْنَ الصِّبِيَانِ فِي الضَّرْبِ. When you beat your children, be fair, be just in that beating. The ninth thing I like to mention from the issues, he mentioned 18. I'm just mentioning the ninth one because I think that these ones are very common amongst the people today. He said, Allah yadribahum wa huwa ghadban. Allah yadribahum wa huwa ghadban. He should not beat his children. Wa huwa ghadban. While angry. In anger, you will err. You will not be able to follow the guidelines. And it will be clear that you are just transferring the anger. Parents, let us take note. This is the reason I have paid attention to this issue. While parenting, many of us will make a lot of mistakes. If you want to beat your child while you are angry, if you are not careful, you will make darbun mubarrihun. That is, you will beat that child and leave a mark on him. You will beat more than 3 strokes. You will beat beyond limits. So you will just, why? Anger. So don't let the beating or caning or flogging be out of anger. And that will make you go beyond limits. That was the ninth thing that the Sheikh mentioned, Abu Abdullah Al-Ghamidi, in his book, Al-Jami'u Fi Ahkami Wa Adab Al-Subyan. Al-Jami'u Fi. I'm mentioning it so that our brothers, we all can go and have access to this book. There is no keeping it away. Al-Jami'u Fi Ahkami Wa Adab Al-Subyan by Abu Abdullah, Adil Abdullah. Abu Abdullah Adil ibn Abdullah Al-Ghamidi, from among the researching scholars who has purported on this issue. The tenth thing I like to mention, even though we had mentioned it, is that an yajtaniba darb al-wajhi. An yajtaniba al-wajh. The parents, an yajtaniba al-wajh. The parent or the teacher should avoid flogging a child in the face. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited us in clear-cut hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, that إِذَا ضَرَبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَّقِ الْوَجْهِ إِذَا ضَرَبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَّقِ الْوَجْهِ. When any of you canes somebody, avoid, be sure that you don't cane that person in the face. So these are about 10 guidelines that we have mentioned here today, bismillah, for parents who, if they have to cane a child, these are guidelines to follow. May Allah protect us all. I think the last hadith, we can quickly read that hadith we have regarding the issues about al-yatama, is the hadith in hadith number 141. You would see we had read 142, the author of Aisha radiallahu anha, and yesterday we read 140. So we can come to hadith number 141. Babun aw babu fadlil mar'ati idha tasabbarat ala waladiha wa lam tatazawwaj. Babu fadlil mar'a, the chapter regarding the virtue of a woman. Idha tasabbarat ala waladiha, if she is patient regarding her children, walam tatazawwaj, and she does not become married. Tasabbarat ala waladiha, she becomes patient. She is trying to take care of the child because she's busy with working. She's busy with struggles to be sure that she takes care of her children. When she loses the means of support, maybe from the husband, maybe from the relatives, this is not limited to a woman whose husband passes away. It also involves a woman that is perhaps a divorcee. She has children with her that she's catering for, especially when it is unfortunately regarding a brother who is truly irresponsible. Some brothers are actually irresponsible regarding their children, sons and daughters. When they divorce a woman, they become irresponsible. This is not lawful. If you have a child, you have a duty to take care of that child. So because you have divorced the woman, you now become irresponsible towards those children. This is not lawful for you. So when such a woman who had been married to an irresponsible man leaves marriage and she has children with her, this kind of a woman can go on struggling, trying to take care of these children. If she does this, what are the rewards for her? Or in a case where a woman was truly under a responsible man, and then this man passes away, and the means of support becomes cut off. If the means of support becomes cut off, it could be because she could not find another husband to marry who will take care of her and then care for the children. This one happens a lot. A brother will die, and then the children will be under the care of the wife. Normally, the parents of that brother and the relatives of the brother, who are the paternal relatives of those children, they are the next persons to care for these children. But unfortunately, we're in a society where people don't even give Allah his rights. Not to say give people their rights. People don't give Allah his rights. So not to say give people their rights. So the first thing actually is to invite people to give Allah's rights to Allah. And then to remind the people about these kinds of classes. Like I mentioned yesterday, I, as an individual, I don't think that I have encouraged people mentioning orphans and widows. Discussing orphans and widows in the last 10 years as an individual. I, myself, every talib al-ilm should look at himself. In the last 10 years, did you pay any particular attention to reminding the people about the rights of orphans and widows and women who are cut off from support in society? Have we had time to talk about these people? We hardly talk about them, and that's really, really bad. It's a general societal problem. All we are busy with is, how do we make more money? How do we, what are the, it's not just about Salah. These are great deeds. Kafalatul yatim guarantees al-Jannah for you, near the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Kafalatul yatim guarantees you protection from the fire. Kafalatul yatim guarantees you reward of mujahideen. Kafalatul yatim guarantees you reward of as-sa'imu ghayru muftirin, the one who fasts, who does not break his fast. Kafalatul yatim guarantees you the rewards of al-musalli, the one al-qa'imu ghayru muftirin, the one who observes qiyamul layl ghayru muftirin, who does not become tired of observing qiyamul layl. All these big rewards are for kafalatul yatim. And yet we don't pay attention to kafalatul yatim. All our extra monies, we take our children to go and eat pizza, to go and eat shawarma, we forgotten that some children have not even been able to seek gari for that day. Why not spend that your extra money upon orphans? Why not spend your extra money for pizza, your extra money for shawarma? Why not spend it on those who have not even found anything to eat at all? Your extra money for ShopRite shopping, as they call it, why not spend it upon those who don't even have anything to eat? Why not spend it upon women who are disconnected from support? And it becomes a means of earning Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, both in this world and in the hereafter, instead of spending the excess on your children again. So why not think about that? Why not think about marrying the women? You sisters too, why not think about inviting a sister, your friend, whose husband has passed away, to marry your husband? Because that is the biggest support that you can do to a widow. The biggest support to a widow is marriage. The biggest support to a widow is marriage. Marriage to a responsible man. Can a woman say, oh, my sister, your own husband has passed away and it could have been me? This is what I have said to the people in the last few days when we discussed these issues. Orphanage, it could have been you. You could have been the orphan. And as far as widowhood is concerned, it could have been you, oh woman, who has your husband today. It could be you. So if it could be you, and it is Allah protected, it's not you, it's someone else. So why not help that person? Because it could have been you. I remember a sister when we were in youth service. She had a child at that time. She used to drop the child in our office. She would go to she would go to a place of work and then come back. Her husband was doing very well this in life. The brother I know very well. I wouldn't like to say more than this regarding them. When they go to the office, they drop their children with us. When they go to the office, we were at the National Mosque at the time in Abuja. So they drop the child with us. We play with the boy until they come, they pick the child and go home. So we were joking with the woman one day. the brother, not me, I don't joke with people's watch, sorry. So one day, one of the brothers said to that woman that, why not encourage your husband to marry another wife so that you can keep this boy at home? This woman was very angry with the brother. How you dare tell me that? I did that. At that time, she did not know, and we all did not know, that her vibrant husband was already developing a brain tumor. This brother developed a brain tumor. He finally passed away. May Allah forgive him. He was a very, very good brother. He developed a brain tumor. He was taken to the U.S. and all of this. That sister who never wanted to hear that her husband would have a second wife, she's a second wife now. And this has happened to many women. I am just saying, don't hate it. Don't detest it. And that the society, community, when we say society, we take care of them. Who is the society? The society of Muslims are the Muslims. So if we, the Muslims, can support our widows and our orphans, who will support them? Is there a budget in President Buhari's budget for widows and orphans? Is there a ministry for widows and orphans? So I think we should do a rethink. Each of us, think, look around you. They are everywhere. Or go to organizations whose job is support for widows and orphans. But please, oh brother, oh Umu, try to do something, because you wouldn't know what tomorrow is. Oh Abu, brother, do something, because we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. Nobody has any guarantee for anything. May Allah protect all of us. So what is the virtue when a woman loses support of a husband, and then she's the one who struggles to bring up her children? What is the virtue for her? In this, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Hasim. We'll not pay attention much to the isnad today because of time. And we like to end these discourses about al-yatama today, inshallah. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from the teacher Abu Hasim and Nahasim ibn Qahnin, ibn Qahmin, and Shaddad ibn Abi Ammar, and Awf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i, رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال أنا وامرأة صفعاء الخدين امرأة آمت من زوجها فصبرت على ولدها كهاتين في الجنة In this hadith, it was reported that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ana wa amra'atun safa'ul khaddain, myself and a woman. Who is this woman? Safa'ul khaddain. Ahad. The khad is the cheek. In her khad, in her cheek, she has what ulama refer to as a sufa. Sufa is the darkness. You know, if a woman is light and she is given to real struggles, her cheeks easily become dark because she'll be beaten by the sun repeatedly. You find the cheek becoming darker. Why? Because of struggles to be able to take care of her children. This woman, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is safa'ul khaddain. She has a sufa on her cheeks. Bronze spots or dark spots on her cheeks. This is a woman that, imra'atun, this is a woman that, amat min zawjiha. She becomes disconnected. She loses her husband. Amat min zawjiha. She becomes alone from her husband. How does she become alone from her husband? Perhaps the husband dies, or she becomes divorced by the husband. فَصَبَرَتْ عَلَى وَلَدِهَا. And then she begins to be patient over the care and attention for her children. This kind of a woman, كَهَاتَيْنِ أَنَا وَهِيَ, the Prophet said, myself and this kind of a woman, كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, we will be like this in Al-Jannah. The ulama said it is also referring to that general hadith that we had been reading about kafala to yatim, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannatika hatain, myself and the one who takes care of the yatim will be like the middle finger and the first finger in al-jannah. This particular isnad is da'if. But the ulama say it has a shahid from the hadith of Abu Hurairah. That is hadith of Abu Hurairah in Musnad Abi Ya'la. In Musnad Abi Ya'la, there is a hadith in it that strengthens this hadith. There's a hadith, a shahid in Musnad Abi Ya'la that strengthens this hadith. And Shaykh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad has mentioned that the hadith is strong. So it means we can say conveniently that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa mra'atun saf'a'ul khaytay, myself and a woman whose cheeks become dark. Imra'atun, a woman who amat min zawjiha, who becomes disconnected from her husband. Fasabarat ala waladiha. And then she is patient over the care and attention, taking care of the child, taking the child to madrasa, taking the child to school, taking the child to places, to the sittings of scholars. Many of the scholars in Islamic history passed through this kind of a situation. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, we remember that it was his mother who used to take him to the gatherings of learning in Medina. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the same thing, it was his mother who used to take him to the gatherings of learning. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, it was his mother who was taking him all around, the scholars. Many scholars in Islamic history have this kind of a background. Their father would pass away and their mother would pay attention to them till they grew up and they became what they became. He had given us a number of examples. Amongst them was Al-Imam Malik. Amongst them was Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, our Imam Muhammad ibn Idris Abu Abdullah al-Shafi'i. So a woman who does this kind of job, kahatayni fil jannah, she will be like this, like the first finger and the second finger with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that hadith is also clear. And this will be the end of the matters regarding al-yatama, the orphans in the Quran. And all of what we have read so far will be the bayan, will be the tafsir for that verse of the Quran. When Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى. The people who come to ask you about orphans, how do we handle orphans? Allah said, قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ. Being nice to them is the best of the things that you can do. From the best of what we can do is to be nice to Al-Yatama. So all these ahadith are like saying, how do we show Islah to Al-Yatama? We have read all the ahadith regarding this in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. I think we can stop here so that we can take a few questions, bismillah. Abu Yusuf. Abu Abdul Rahman. Where is Abu Abdul Rahman?
Is he online?
Okay, fine.
This one says, I once heard that there is no sin upon the father whose child dies while he is visiting him. How true is this?
If it happens that after following the guidelines, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymin said, rahimahullah, that we should not beat a child in a place if we have to. We have explained all of these. Don't beat a child in a place that is dangerous for the health of that child. So he mentioned the back, he mentioned the shoulders and similar other places. If a boy was flogged, for example, just one kick, bah, and the boy falls down and dies. If it happens from the father, that there is no kisos, the child will not be killed, the father will not be killed in return for the child. Take the hadith on that. We can come back to it in another class, but that is a general ruling on that. There are narrations regarding this, that the father is not killed for the son. We can look at that in the books of Hudud, legal punishment. Legal punishment for murder is not sought. The father is not accused of killing a child. Allahu alam.
Is that enough for a second?
And one.
As regarding being judged in discipline, can the parent give different punishments on age, like 6 strokes for an older child and 3 strokes for a younger child?
If they committed the same sin, and each of them would recognize the value of caning, then they must be caned equally. It's about the sin, not about the person receiving the cane. It's not about who is receiving the cane will determine the punishment. No, it's about what was the sin, and will that person understand that I am being punished? Imagine a girl of, or a boy of 8, a girl of 8, a boy of 10, a girl of 8, a boy of 10. The two of them will definitely know that we are being flogged for so reason. There is no reason for you to say, oh, this one is a girl and she's younger. You give her 2 strokes. This one is older and it's a boy. You give him 3 strokes. Don't do that. Be fair. Because ordinarily, all children at home will not be of the same age. So if they committed the same sin, then beat them equally. One of them may commit the sin worse than the first one. One of them may be the one who engineered it. And for that, because his own job is worse than the second one. So it must be depending on the sin. But if they committed the same thing, maybe the way children behave, they can go to the store and they can pair the bag of rice at home, or the bag of gari, or the bag of, and they begin to put their hands inside. Usually this is usually committed by boys and girls between age 3 and 4. They go to the store, they will puncture the gari or puncture the rice, and then they begin to let it out. They say, oh, like water is flowing. If that boy was 3 or 4, or the girl was, beat them equally if you have to. If you have to. Otherwise, you can explain to them to stop this. Some people take it, they like it, they see it as a play. They enjoy the gushing of the gari or the rice, as the case may be. So I'm just saying that it depends on the sin. If one of them committed the sin more than the other one, it should be beaten more than the other one. If they committed the sin equally, then the caning should be equal. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
In some countries, if one fosters a child, the government gives you a stipend. Should this money be spent only on the fostered child?
It depends on what the government gives you the money for. If the money is for that child, if the money is for that child, then it is for the child. If the money is for you, then it is for you. So you who live in that country, you know the rules and the guidelines regarding those kinds of money. That is one. Secondly, when you say foster, in the Sharia, you are meaning something else. Fostering does not come except through breastfeeding. That a child, the parent of that child was misbehaving somewhere. He brought that child and left that child with you. It does not mean that you are foster father as far as Islam is concerned. Fostering has to do with breastfeeding. Your wife breastfeeds a child. You become the foster father of that child. We gave some of the conditions that the ulama, and they are actually in the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as that the breastfeeding must be within a child when that child is still being breastfed, and then it must be more than 5 suckles, and each of the suckles must fill the stomach and the intestines properly. These are the 3 conditions. It must be full drinks to full. When a child does this under you, with your wife, you become the foster father of that child. Your wife becomes the foster mother of that child, and so on. But that a child is, these are just children under your care. You are just their guardian. You are not their foster father or foster mother. I'm talking about fostering because that question involves an issue of fostering. So if you have a child that is just placed under you, you are the guardian of this child. Why? The father passed away or the mother passed away. If that child has his own money, then it is for him. Unless you want to spend from it by way of either not making the wealth become spoiled, or things like this. And even if you want to spend over yourself because you are taking care of that one, it should be upon fairness, as the verses of the Quran have shown in Surah Al-Fatihah. I hope that the point is clear. But in the countries where children are taken from one parent because of irresponsibility and brought to other parents, that is not fostering, number one. Number two, the funds that are provided for that, I am sure they are usually defined. Are those funds for you as the caregiver, or those funds are for the children as the care receivers? The laws guiding that will make you know what to do in those circumstances. Allahu Akbar.
Is it lawful to give our child punishment, like telling them to stood up for a period of time?
Yes, it is lawful, and it is more preferable to cane it.
Now, can a school teacher cane or punish, especially when assignments are not done, especially when it is in a large group?
Yes, the teacher can punish. And if the punishment is not bringing about results, you may think about considering caning, if caning will be useful, inshallah.
This one says, is it permissible for a mother to do adhkar morning and evening in Jama'ah in her home with her little children so that they can learn the adhkar?
Yes, if it's by way of teaching them. Yes, you can learn from them. Someone is saying here, I can read a question here by Yusuf. Can you give a list of some organizations who cater for widows and orphans? Islamic organization. Should anyone like to donate? As an individual, I don't know specifically organizations for widows and orphans, but I know there is Siddiqa. They do kitchen, street kitchen. They provide people food. And I think once the sister told me, Sister Aisha, that they also provide attention to widows and orphans and women who are disconnected from husband support or male support. I think you can check them off. That's Siddiqa Foundation. There may be others, but this is what I know now that I'm talking about. One of the brothers had already answered that. I think aside this, I like to remind us that we are getting close to Dhul-Hijjah. Inshallah, our class next Saturday will be about the rulings in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. But let us all start preparing. We are getting to one of the best of days. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had said that ma min ayamin al-amalu salihu fiha afdalu aw ahabu ila Allahi min hadhihi al-ayam. There are no days that good deeds are more beloved to Allah than these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Bismillah, we'll come to the rulings about Dhul-Hijjah in our next class, and in the following day we'll discuss the issues regarding the Eid itself, the manas regarding buying the ram and all of these. If you are slaughtering a ram, be sure that one of the things we shall mention, because we don't know how it will come to be. If you are slaughtering a ram, be sure that you start shaving your hair, start giving your low cuts, start shaving your fingernails, because in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, before you slaughter your ram, from the sunan of that time is that you should abstain from cutting your hairs or shaving your hairs, shaving your pubes, or cutting your fingernails or removing anything from your skin. So if you intend to slaughter a ram, you must avoid these things from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah. I think this is very important for us to note. And then I think we can stop here. Bismillah, in the next class, we shall discuss other rulings and manners regarding the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah Yusuf.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.